Hey mamas, happy Valentine's Day. If you're looking for a great last minute gift idea, I have the perfect one for you. It's the date box from Happily Co. Marcus and I love our monthly date box. It comes in the mail each month. It's a unique date night that you don't have to plan. Every box comes with everything that you'll need, conversation starters, and a Spotify playlist. The boxes usually include something fun to do, sometimes something yummy to make, and it's a really fun way to connect with one another. The best part is that you don't have to plan it. You can do it after bedtime so you don't have to pay for a sitter. You can slip into something cozy and just have fun spending time together. Be sure to check out the date box over at Happily Co. The link is in the description of this podcast. And use code MIMOSASWITHMOMS for 50% off your first box. And let's get started with today's episode. Hi, welcome back to another episode of the Mimosas with Moms podcast. I'm your host, Abby Williams. This week, I'm welcoming on Erica Suter to talk about mommy burnout. Erica is a New York City-based journalist, a parenting expert, and frequent contributor on Good Morning America and other national broadcast outlets, as well as a mom of two and the author of the new book, How to Have a Kid and Life Survival Guide. Erica helps moms have a realistic set of expectations on what comes with being a parent and how to navigate your life so that you can keep the integrity of your soul right at the center of your experience. We hear all the time that it is important to prioritize ourselves, but today Erica is going to give us some practical ways to actually do that. You can find Erica on Instagram at Erica Suter and her website, www.ericasuter.com. And be sure to pick up her book, How to Have a Kid and a Life Survival Guide on Amazon. I hope that you enjoy today's episode. And if you do, please be sure to leave a 5-star rating and review. Your support here on the podcast always means the world to me. And I so appreciate you being here. So let's get started. Cheers. Erica, welcome to the Mimosas with Moms podcast. I am so excited that you are here joining me today because I think after the past 2 years, if you weren't burnout before, you're a little burnout now. So I'm excited to kind of unpack some mommy burnout, how we can start prioritizing ourselves. So thank you for being here. And first, tell my listeners a little bit about yourself.
Yeah. My name is Erica Suter, and I have been a journalist for over 20 years. Yeah. And I actually began my career at People Magazine. I interviewed celebrities for a decade, and then I went to Us Weekly. It was the best job to have in your 20s before you have kids.
Right. I can imagine.
And after you have kids, and you're up till 4 waiting for some publicist to call you back to confirm what someone was wearing or get some quotes, it's not so fun. Yeah. So I switched gears, and I started focusing on parenting. I became an editor for this great website called Cafe Mom. Yeah. But I didn't just assign articles, which that's what I did mostly. But I also did a lot of research. I went to mommy meetups. I held my own focus groups. I went to every, anything that was going on, any convention or anything where groups of women were meeting to talk about their lives. And from there, I just started pulling together all of these things that women talked about that we weren't necessarily addressing and the things that we wrote or even the books that I saw out there. Things like what happens to their marriages, what happens to their relationships with women who don't have children, how their relationship with alcohol changes, their relationships with themselves. And so I thought, I'm going to write about that. I'm going to put it all in one book.
Yeah.
And so that's what I do. I write about motherhood. I speak to mothers across the country, and it is like the best job in the world.
And you did. You wrote a book called How to Have a Kid and a Life, a Survival Guide.
Right.
And we all need a survival guide, right? Because I just feel like we are thrown into motherhood, parenthood, and what the heck? What did I sign up for? I thought that this was going to be all sunshine and rainbows. You promised me that this baby was going to come into my life and it was going to be magical. We were going to be in our love bubble. And then like that love bubble has bursted probably around like, I don't know,
maybe that 24-hour, like, the witching hour, the cluster feeding is starting, maybe the three-day, like, postpartum, your hormonal crash, and then you're just like, oh, my gosh. So how – let's talk about why it's important to be prioritizing ourselves in all of this madness.
Yeah. I think one of the big problems that we have when we go into being moms is that we don't really know what to expect, right? Not to what to really expect. Right. Everyone talks about the stuff you need, the crib, the car seat, the baby wipes warmer, which, by the way, please do not buy one. You do not need a wipes warmer. I bought one. It's totally a waste of money. But, like, you know, we get all this stuff and we think that's going to help prepare us. Yeah. And I feel like we're totally blindsided. And that's where the burnout really begins. Like you said, you're at home and you're taking care of the baby, which is so hard. It was the hardest job I've ever had in my entire life. And, you know, I had some crazy work experiences and I just felt so overwhelmed because no one really told me kind of the nitty gritty, like how I would feel so depleted. It wasn't just exhaustion, but also just lonely, even though I was with a human child 24 hours a day.
Right.
You can still feel so lonely because you just starve for other connection. And I think that's where burnout begins and that's where we start to get lost. And then from there, it's just like, it keeps being piled on. More responsibility, more worries, more this, more that. And what we do as women is we just give, right? We as moms, we're like, we're going to take care of everything. We're going to make sure our kids and our families have everything. We take care of the household, you know, and it's not just, you know, taking care of the household isn't just like cooking and cleaning and making sure your kids have clothes. It's like, who needs the dentist appointment next? Is there enough toilet paper? Wait, is there soy milk for the little one who's allergic to cow's milk?
I look at my husband and I'm like, you just don't even have a clue.
No.
You have no clue. Idea. And you have no idea.
No idea. And it really pisses you off, right? Because you feel
like
you're
over. We have like some good fights about it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the resentment is real.
Right.
And so I feel as though we're not often prepared for these struggles. And I mean, that's what I write about. That's why I write. And it's not, you know, not to scare people away from having babies. And because having children
is like this magical love bubble experience also.
It is.
Right.
It is. It's both the hardest thing you'll do, but also the best thing you'll do.
And it is simultaneously at the same time all day.
Yes. Savage and joyful at the same time. And so my whole point is when I talk to women and a parent or whoever the primary caregiver is, I want them to kind of be prepared for this roller coaster because that's what really rocks us, right? Like we just didn't think it was going to be this way. Like, why is it this way? And that, you know, and a lot of people are like, oh, well, you know, as soon as I stop breastfeeding, it'll get easier. Or as soon as he's walking, it'll get easier. I'm like, this is going to be a different kind of hard.
I do this. I do that. And it's so true. You know, and like I have four kids. My oldest one is 11. My baby just turned 2. And I know what's ahead because like you have the 11-year-old. Like I'm sitting here like, okay, well, when the baby's done breastfeeding, like I do that. And I'm like, I know better. I know that it's not easier. It just changes.
And the solution isn't really your kids getting older because I've talked to moms of teens and college students. They have a whole different set of fears, you know, but the solution is to prioritize the things that give you peace and make you happy, right? Outside of your family.
Yeah.
Right? You need connection and you need things from people who don't live in your house.
Right.
And that's sometimes that's what we sacrifice so much of when we have so much to do. But what I'm saying is that it is okay if I don't play Matchbox Cars with my 5-year-old every day. There'll be some days I can be like, no, you know what? I'm going to go and do whatever it is that I need or want to do.
Yeah.
For me, I like writing fiction, right? So I take time away from my kids. Just a little bit of time so that I can do something that I like and that I feel good about.
Yeah.
I like meeting with my girlfriends for coffee a few times a week. I prioritize that. For every woman, every person, it's different. You have to figure out what that is, and it's not going to be the same for everyone.
Yeah. Let's kind of talk about, I guess, like prioritizing those things, you know, especially like right now we have COVID happening. The past 2 years have been just a whirlwind of like taking away all of our joy. You know, especially your people that you're leaning into, you know, people have been distanced. You know, I think like we've kind of come back and forth, we've ebbed and flowed with the COVID happening, you know, we're back together again, and then things might heighten, we're, you know, isolated again. I don't know what's going on, but how can we make sure that these are still a priority even when things get nuts? You know, because right. I even think, so, like, you know, thinking of like a world post-COVID, hopefully this happens, right? COVID has to end, right? A world post-COVID, like even just normal motherhood, stuff like goes down where like it gets harder to make those things that fill you up a priority. The kids yeah. are going a million different ways. Maybe you have multiple. They're all in sports. You know, things are crazy. And as the primary caregiver, the mother, we put ourselves on that back burner. So mm-hmm. how do we make sure that we're prioritizing even when we're living in pandemic, even when things are nuts?
Right. So one of the things I always tell caregivers or, you know, moms yeah. is that if you're feeling lonely and depleted and you just don't know how to reach out to someone, I guarantee you those other people that you're thinking about are also feeling lonely and depleted. Like, we're all kind of going through this, and we all, believe it or not, have the same needs. I don't care what their Instagram feed looks like. People are starving for just having someone to talk to and feel listened to. Like, I hadn't seen a really good girlfriend of mine in months. She had had COVID, then it went through our entire family. And we got on the phone and we just had this conversation, and it wasn't anything like groundbreaking, but it was just 30 minutes of talking like normal humans who were interested in catching up. And we both, and she said, she's like, this feels so good. And I was like, I know it does. I cannot wait till you're out of quarantine so I can like see you and have coffee. So I think what, first of all, we have to kind of make the effort, right? We have to just do it, carve out that time. You know, if it's like, you know, during the pandemic, I have a group of friends, or five of us, and we didn't always have the same free time, but every day at 5, we had a Zoom that we logged into, right? Sometimes we made it, sometimes some of us did not make it, but every day we could log in and be like, what are you cooking tonight? Who, what child do you want to like just throw out the house? Like, what's going on with you? Like, you know, what did you watch on TV last night? It's just, you know, this sounds silly. This sounds little and it sounds silly, but it's not, because it still makes you feel connected to the outside world when you're kind of shut inside. So for a lot of moms, I'm telling you, if it's like a friend that you haven't talked to, I reconnected with a good friend from high school during the pandemic, and we check in and we text and we talk sporadically, but it's still someone I know. It's a connection that I need and I appreciate. It could be a neighbor, right? If you feel like there's a neighbor or someone on your street who's lonely, they are, you know, knock on their door and just stand out on your porch to talk to them, you know, and then build a relationship, take walks together. If there's an exercise that you wanted to start, do it, even if it's just 15 minutes a day. I guess my point is that you're worth this time. You're worth these little chunks of time, and then build on that. And I think one of the things I do a lot of worksheets in my book to kind of figure out that thing that you're missing, that thing that you want. You know, for some people, it's having a new career or a new creative outlet, and you have to make space for that. It has to be very intentional. And I was talking to one mom who decided to start a podcast, and it's actually really funny.
Yeah.
She like recaps Bachelor episodes.
I love that.
It's hilarious. Yeah. And it's about expending that energy in a way that makes you feel good. Right? It doesn't always mean you have to get paid for it, but it's still giving you something back. It's making you feel a sense of reward.
Yeah.
And I think that's what we have to do. For, you know, I also talked to a woman who started gardening with her teenage son, which I thought was really, I was like, your teenage son will garden with you? That's amazing. Yeah. He's like, he was reluctant, but he was super bored. And now it's something that they love to do together.
That is,
you
so know, cool. there, yeah.
you have to kind of take a risk and try things. And most of the time it will pan out. It will make you feel good. Or at least you can scratch something off your list if you realize you kill all your plants. Or
that might be me. That might be me.
Yeah. But I really want women to start putting themselves back on top of their to-do list. We're always going to have a million things to do. But you know what? If I don't fold the laundry, or if I don't make my kids' costume for something and I buy it this year, that's fine too. If I save myself a little bit of time and I can focus on something else, it is okay to put yourself first sometimes. And that is what I find that we're so reluctant to do.
I know. I wish that we were like, I don't know, just like put ourselves out there and put ourselves on the top of our to-do list a little bit easier. Mm-hmm. Can we like circle back? I guess like I loved all the examples that you were giving of reaching out to other people. Because, and I kind of want to like circle back to this, just like make sure all the mamas like hear this, because I hear mm-hmm. this from literally every mom in all walk in all stages about the loneliness. It's so mm-hmm. hard to make and maintain mom friends. And like what you said about, I promise you, every mom is feeling that too. Don't look at what their Instagram feed looks like. It might look like they have all these friends or that they're really happy. They're with their kids doing all these fun things. But like that loneliness is so real in motherhood. And just like being yeah. that one that initiates it and reaches out, you have no idea what that means to other people. I'm really yeah. thank you it for does. Saying that. Yeah.
No, and someone you may not even have naturally thought you vibed with, right? There right. could be someone you thought, oh, I don't have anything in common with her. We never really talk. And then you have a conversation, and this has happened to me on more than one occasion, yeah. where I'm like, oh my God, we have so much fun together. Why haven't we been hanging out for years? You know, it'll be like, so yeah. we're just kind of forced together at some point. Yeah. So, you know, you have to kind of get rid of this fear of rejection, because that's what we're all like. Yeah. I always equate like finding mom friends to walking into the junior high cafeteria the first day and not knowing right. where to sit. And you're like, oh, it just brings all those insecurities like back to the surface. And you're like, who do I talk to? Who's going to be my friend? And
I feel like that at like the preschool birthday parties.
Yes.
I feel like yeah. that. Like I walk in and it's like all these new moms, because it's like, you know, this group of preschoolers are new to each other. Mm-hmm. And so you're like, who's going to be yeah. my friend here? Yeah.
But every single woman in that room yeah. feels the exact same way. And we don't, you know, it's kind of like hard to put yourself out there. But if you do, just like, now I just like kind of walk up to a mom and I start talking and I introduce yeah. myself, and not everyone's going to like me or my personality, and that's yeah. fine. Yeah. But if you don't extend yourself and try, and most of the time people will love to talk to you because they're looking for someone to talk to as well.
Gosh, but I've had some of your energy, Erica. Like the just like, I'm just going to put myself out there and I'm not going to be afraid. And
I did so after interviewing 200 moms yeah. for this book and yeah. realizing what works and what doesn't work. And I'm yeah. like, well, you know what? Like, you know, I remember talking to a mom. This is one that went sideways for me. I was talking to a mom and we're talking about breastfeeding. And I was like, oh my God, it was like, and I made this joke. It's like every time it was time to breastfeed, I heard the music to like Psycho. Like I was like, oh, it's going to like tear apart my poor nipple and it's going to be terrible. And I was joking. I was like, I couldn't wait to pack up my breast pump after, you know, 6 months.
Right.
I was like, I gave it all my all. And I was just like, enough. And she was so horrified because she was breastfeeding for, like, she had planned to breastfeed for 2 years yeah. and she just, you know, thought I was a quitter and I gave up too easily. And I thought, well, I guess I didn't know my audience with this one. So and she never talked to me again, which is fine.
Yeah. You know, and like there are going to be just like different groups of moms, right? And we're like, yeah. we aren't for everybody. Yeah.
Right. And that's, yeah. that's another thing. I really think it's important to find your right group of people. You know, quantity does not mean quantity. Just because you know, I hear moms always say, look, I have a huge group of mom friends, but I'm like, well, who can you be vulnerable around? Who makes you happy when you leave that outing? Do you feel more fulfilled? Do you feel happy? Do you feel like you can trust them, that you can tell them things about your life and you feel supported? Like all those things are important when you talk about real, genuine friendships. So I also want the moms out there to think about your mom group, and are these people who really, you know, make you feel good and make you feel supported? That's also really important.
Yeah. And while we're on the topic of relationships, mm-hmm. let's talk about like some boundaries and how boundaries could be beneficial to dealing with burnout.
Right. So you also have to get comfortable with saying no.
Yeah.
No is the most important word.
Yeah.
Yes. In your arsenal.
Yes.
And that means saying no when, you know, your kid wants a sleepover and you're exhausted and you just can't imagine dealing with like 6 kids the next morning to make breakfast for. Yeah. Or it's no when someone asks you to volunteer for something you don't have the bandwidth for. It's no for, you know, if your kids want you to do something you just don't feel like you have the ability to extend yourself and do it, it's okay. It is okay to say no. And it doesn't make you a bad mom and it doesn't make you a bad person. It just makes you very aware of what you need to survive.
Yeah. You will do those things another day. You know?
It's like,
You'll feel good again.
Right. And if the school needs someone to volunteer for something and you can't do it, the next mom or person is going to do just fine. You know, I think it's the, sometimes we also have a fear of missing out, right? I feel like we feel like, well, what if I don't work on this or volunteer this and I miss some, you know, great time or I miss some big opportunity. But I said, well, what about your ability like to rest and have your sanity? Like that's important too.
It's important you know, no for one gets you and for your kids.
Yeah. I always say there's, you don't get an award for being the mommy martyr who does everything.
Right.
All you get is burnout.
I wish that we were getting some rewards around here though, you know, it would be nice to like be recognized every once in a while. And I think like that kind of like contributes to burnout is, you know, you kind of think about all these different areas of your life or maybe like pre-children. You know, maybe you went to college and you graduated, you got a degree, you know, maybe you got some awards there, you know, you get married and that's like a huge accomplishment or, you know, whatever the milestones that you feel like you're achieving, you're being recognized for. And then like you have these babies and that's like the, you know, like, yay, congratulations, you had the baby. And then like after that, you're just kind of like, okay.
Yeah. It's almost like your resume ends at mom. It's like, okay, well, that's it.
And that's like, been kind of hard for me, like transitioning, because I was doing both at the same time. I was a young single mom with my first one. And I had him halfway through my bachelor's degree. I was like, you know, big and bad and full of myself because I didn't take any time off school. I like finished.
That's amazing.
I got my degree. I went back to graduate school as a single mom. And so, you know, like here I am like feeling really good about myself for years. And now I'm like on the other side where I have three more children and I'm just mom. You know what I mean? And like, it's a hard adjustment.
It is a really hard adjustment. I actually wrote a chapter that it's entitled Motherhood May Not Be Enough.
Yeah.
Right? And it doesn't mean you don't love your kids. It doesn't mean you're not appreciative for them. I'm so grateful for my two boys.
Same.
But, you know, I know that I need to be more than their mom.
Yeah.
I need to do something else. I need to put something else out into the world. And that's okay. And I think oftentimes we become moms and people are just like, well, this is your job. This is really the only thing you should be doing. And that's not fair. It's not fair to who we were. It's not fair to who we are or who we can be. And so I'm also a huge advocate of figuring out those, that other thing that you need, that extra, it could be, maybe it's a new job. Maybe I interviewed this woman who started this amazing foundation where she started it really small. She knew she wanted to do something more than just be, not just be a stay-at-home mom, because that's like the hardest job in the world. Like when I stayed at home, I was like, oh my God, I need to go back to the office.
I know.
But she wanted to do something else. And so what she started to do, she went into homeless shelters in Detroit and she redid the rooms that were for moms and homeless kids. Like she would put bedspreads and curtains. And now she has now it's a huge organization and they have redecorated thousands upon thousands of homeless shelter rooms for these families. And it's something that's sort of small, something that helped her kind of feel good and feel like she was contributing something. And now it's this huge, successful charity.
I have a neighbor that would like be great at something like that.
I mean, I no one's going to say no to that kind of help, right?
Nope.
So it's like finding that thing that helps you feel more, a little passion that makes you feel more than a mom. Yeah. And yes, I'm always going to be so-and-so's mom. And I'm so grateful for that. But it's also okay for me to want a little something else.
Yeah.
And we can't be embarrassed by that.
Yeah. I went on like a girls trip last year for like the first time in, I don't know, a long time. And I remember like coming back refreshed.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
that lasts like 2 hours.
I was like refreshed. And I was like into my husband and I'm like into my kids. And I was like here for it. And I remember like crying about it one night with my husband. And I was just like, I just don't want this feeling to go away. Mm-hmm. You know, like I feel like myself again. I feel alive. I feel like, you know, into all of my family, you know, and I don't want that to go away. And it is, though, it is so much work when you're here and you're in all of the different things running all of your life, to feel that. And yeah. I totally agree with you that like making yourself a priority and on your list, it's so important so that you don't have to like escape your life to get recharged, yeah. you know, yeah. like,
but also for some people, those little escapes help them like last throughout the year, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like having like maybe two trips doesn't have to be going to like, you know, it's not, I'm not saying like ditch your family and go sell surfboards in Hawaii or anything like that.
Right.
But I'm like, just even if it's like, I'm going to go visit my sister alone with no one in the family for a weekend, or take a girls trip or do a trip by yourself. I did a yoga retreat by myself as my mother.
I love that. Really?
You know, and I did spa treatments.
So nice.
It was amazing. I got up when I wanted to get up.
Yeah.
I ordered food that I wanted. I didn't have to worry about anyone else. And it was 48 hours, but I felt so good.
I'm doing that for myself.
Think about it as, it's not selfish,
no,
right?
It's not
self-care. It's survival. It really is.
Like coming back and like being the version of myself when I came back from that trip. You know what I mean? Like they deserve that person. Just like I deserve that person.
Yes.
You know? And so it is so important to be prioritizing you.
You know, and every other job in this country has a time you log off, right? Or you're done with work, except for motherhood. It's like 24 hours.
I wake up in the middle of the night and my list is going. And I'm like, no, I was sleeping. I don't want this list right now.
So having a little bit of vacation or a little bit of a break, and even if it's like, you know, I do know a group of moms who take like half day hikes.
Yeah.
Together, they'll drive up someplace like that's maybe like a 2-hour drive and hike and then drive back.
Yeah.
Like even something like that can feel rejuvenating and renewing, and it feels like it's for you. It's not for anyone else.
Yeah.
And you need to feel like you do something for yourself.
Yeah.
And so many people don't.
Yeah.
And I know for a lot of people, it's like, how do I take off work, or how do I find a sitter, or and things like that. But all those things come into play. There was another group of moms I interviewed in California, and they trade, right? So they have this, they trade off babysitting the other's kids so they can use. From some moms use it for date night. Some use it for a spa day, or some use it for just to be alone and read magazines. But getting together with other moms and kind of bartering this time is it works, and it's amazing, especially now.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I promise you, if you find some moms and you say, hey, let's trade off babysitting our kids so that we can get some free time, I bet they would jump on it.
Right. I bet so too. We all need more mom friends, and we all need more time for ourselves as moms.
Yeah, definitely.
Erica, thank you so much for having this conversation with me. It was so needed. I'm like, every time I do one of these episodes, it's for my audience, right? And I'm always like, oh, I need all of this information as well.
So, oh my God.
Thank you so much.
No, I love talking to you. I love your podcast. And your audience is so lucky to have you.
I mean,
we need real talk.
We need real talk
to like say what's going on and
not
be not like
always warm and fuzzy.
No, and it's okay. And it's okay to complain about it, but it's also great to try to find solutions to it too, which is what I like.
So tell my audience where they can find you.
So you can find me on Instagram. I'm often updating on the stories I write or the research I've done. It's at Erica Suter, ErikaSouter. You can also find a lot of my writing and my TV work on ericasouter.com. You may also see me on Good Morning America, where I contribute to their parenting stories. So look me up.
Perfect. I will be linking all those in the description of this podcast, as well as your book. And cheers to a less burnout motherhood.
Oh, cheers to a less burnout motherhood. Yeah. Or a lot more mimosas.
Thanks, Erica.
Thanks. Bye-bye.